Good morning, everyone. I'm going to swap roles from parent to preacher. And before I begin, two things. First of all, if you do have a child who wants to get one of the booklets at the back or wants to go to the pop-up creche, if, for example, you need to feed your baby or something like that, then do feel free to go there. Secondly, it would help me enormously if you turned in your Bibles to the reading that we just had. There should be a Bible near you, page 1172. 1172. And let me pray for us. Our Father God, as we think of things of the Spirit this morning, we pray for the work of your Spirit to bring your word to life to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the summer, we in our morning and evening services have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And different members of the preaching team have been preaching on different fruit from the list of the fruit of the Spirit that we've just had read to us in Galatians chapter 5. I gave each preacher their choice of which fruit to preach on. I called it pick your own fruit, which I thought was quite funny, but everyone else groaned. So everyone picked which fruit they wanted to preach on. And this morning I was due to preach on humility. And I chose it for the simple reason that I looked around that I couldn't see anyone better placed to speak on humility than me. And, of course, that disqualified me instantly. And so while I had planned to preach the definitive sermon on humility, masterful in both its content and its delivery, instead, I'm going to preach on the whole of the fruit of the Spirit. This whole list that we've had in Galatians chapter 5 and the surrounding verses, a sort of overview of the series over the summer. I think it's helpful to get the big picture. And also, it is in some ways appropriate to this morning and to Hannah's baptism, because I want to talk about growth. And growth, not just of a child, but of a character. And specifically, growth of Christian character, or Christ-like character, the character of Christ that we see in the fruit of the Spirit. Earlier in the baptism, just towards the end, Joy prayed these words for Hannah. They're part of the set liturgy for a baptism. She prayed, "May Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness, restore in you the image of his glory, and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ." Deliver you from the powers of darkness, restore in you the image of his glory. The gospel, the Christian message, is about rescue and about restoration. It's about rescue because through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are delivered from the powers of darkness. We are rescued from sin and death and from hell. We are rescued from and we are rescued for forgiveness, being washed clean, new life, being reborn, and a relationship with God now and for eternity. We contribute nothing to this rescue, apart from the fact we need rescuing. We do not save ourselves. We are rescued by God through Christ. We receive this freely. The gospel is about rescue. And it is also about restoration. May Almighty God restore in you the image of his glory. It is as if an artist had a prized painting stolen, a masterpiece taken. And eventually they get it back. It comes back into their possession. But when they get it back, they discover it has been damaged, defaced. And so that artist, having got the painting back, begins the painstaking work of restoration, bringing the original image back. So you and I are made in the image of God. But this image has been marred in each one of us. We are damaged, defaced. And so the work of God is not just to rescue us, bring us back, but to restore us, to bring his image to light once again. And he does this not by working on our faces. Sorry to disappoint you, they only get worse with age. But on our characters. The character that God is looking to grow in each one of us. And that is described in this list that we call the fruit of the Spirit, the passage in front of you. It's contrasted with the acts of the sinful nature. They, we read, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, hatred, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and so on. These are obvious. I might add they are also easy. They come naturally to us. No one needs to be trained to be selfish. No one needs to be helped to fall out with other people. These things come naturally. But the fruit of the Spirit, in contrast, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I want to say three simple things about Christian character from this list. And the three things I want to say are all contained in the phrase, the fruit of the Spirit. And the first thing is this. Christian character is fruit and not acts. It is fruit, not acts. Just down the canal from St. Nick's, Ellen and I have an allotment. We've only had it for about a year and a half, so we are beginner allotmenteers. That's what we call ourselves in the allotment world. And we've been helped with lots of advice and masses of small plants from my grandfather. But as beginners, we have made the rookie error of planting far too many courgette plants. No family, even a family of six, needs more than two. We have more than two. And so the baptism lunch at the rectory this afternoon will consist of courgette fritter canapes, followed by baked courgette for lunch and courgette cake to follow. And if you see a whole tribe of people leaving the rectory in Northcroft Lane later looking a bit green, then you will know why. These courgette plants, so small, so innocuous when you put them in, but slowly, surely, alarmingly, they grow. Christian character is fruit, not acts. You see the difference in the passage. At verse 19, we read the acts of the sinful nature. But verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Acts are one-off, isolated events. Fruit is something that grows slowly, steadily, surely. You can't watch growth. If you look at a courgette for an hour, you won't see it expand. You can't watch growth, But over time, you can measure growth, observe the change. There's a saying, I'm sure you've all heard it, sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Christian character is fruit, not acts. It takes time. In some ways, you can't see it, but over time, you can measure it, even observe it over time. So be patient with yourself and with others. We baptized Hannah this morning, and we all know that however angelic she may look in her baptism dress, baptism does not turn her into an instant angel, if only. The water of baptism does not produce a ready-made mini saint. Christian character is grown steadily, slowly, over many years. It's fruit, not acts. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Christian character is fruit, not fruits. Again, that there is a contrast. Verse 19, the acts, plural, of the sinful nature are, and there's the list. But verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is singular. Christian character is fruit, not fruits. All of these things in this list are one. One fruit being produced, a Christ-like character. That's the fruit. And love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control are all part of the same thing. They are one fruit. This is different to the gifts of the Spirit. In the New Testament, we read of the gifts of the Spirit, and there are lots of them, and no one has them all. There are gifts of hospitality and teaching, of administration and prophecy. They are diverse and distributed differently to each person. That's how the gifts work. But the fruit of the Spirit is different. We are called to all of them. And all of them are part of the same thing. Recently, my son, Joseph, has been collecting Lego cards. If you have children, you may have them doing the same thing, or I'm sure we all remember at some point in our past similar cards that you collected as a child. There are lots of these Lego cards, numbers 1 to 140, and Joseph and I have been ticking off the list of the ones that he has. Which numbers? And we can think of it like this when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. We look at the list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and we think, well, maybe I've got 1 and 3 and 6 and 7, but certainly not 2 and 4 and 5 and 8 and 9. But that's me. But no. All of these things are one. You can't be truly patient unless you are humble. You can't be truly kind unless you have self-control. In fact, if you do have what seems to be a trait without something else, arguably it is not genuine or complete. Just as an example, peace. I am a relatively peaceful person. I am, on the whole, calm. It's very rare that you see Will Hunter Smart in a flap. But if I have peace, but no love or kindness, it's not genuine Christian peace. I just don't care about people or situations. I am calm because I don't care in that situation. I'm not actually saying that's necessarily mine. You can make your own judgment. You may have a gentle disposition, but if with that you have no self-control and you are not faithful, then may I suggest you are simply spineless. Or vice versa, perhaps you have plenty of self-control and you are faithful, a person of your word, but if you have no gentleness, you are simply arrogant and brutish. God is about the work of forming the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, a rounded, whole, Christ-like character. If you want to think of it this way, you are only as mature, only as formed as your weakest link on the list. Christian character is fruit, not acts. Christian character is fruit, not fruits. And lastly, Christian character is fruit of the Spirit. We said earlier that God is in the business of rescue and of restoration. If you're a Christian, he has rescued you, not by sending you a long list of rules, do this, don't do that, but by sending his Son to die on a cross, to die for our sins, to deliver us from the powers of darkness. And in his work of restoration, again, he does not simply send us another two lists. Here's some things you should avoid, and here are some things you should strive for. Over to you. No, he sent his Son to rescue us. He sends his Spirit to restore us. Christian character is the fruit of the Spirit, his work. We have a part to play, of course. We are, in the words of this passage, to crucify the sinful nature. We are to keep in step with the Spirit. We are daily, as Christians, to make our baptism promises anew, to turn from the devil and from evil and from sin, to turn to Christ, the Saviour and Lord, the way, the truth and the life, to keep in step with the Spirit who leads us to Christ. That's where he's heading. And that is his work in us. If you were to ask me to play like Mozart played, beautiful, awe-inspiring music to stir the soul, there is no way I could, just being me. I would need the spirit of Mozart within me. If you were to ask me to write, like Shakespeare wrote plays to be performed again and again, generation after generation, there's no way I could, just being me. I would need the spirit of Shakespeare within me. God asks us to live like Jesus lived. And we can. Because if you have become a Christian, you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living within you. Keep in step with him. Allow him to do his work, his slow, steady, rounded work of producing the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ within you. Let's pray together. So may Almighty God deliver us from the powers of darkness, restore in us the image of his glory, grow in us the fruit of the Spirit, form in us the character of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.